How could it be, Lord?
Wonderful. And our song is ever going to be How Marvelous. Amen. Amen. Oh, good to see you, Destiny. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. We are happy to be home. We've been watching every minute of everything that ever happened from here. Thank God for technology, huh? I'm praying for you, of course, day by day, and hey, it's good to be back. Looking forward to the second service as well, coming up soon, when we know this place will be filled up, and also welcome to our third congregation, as it were. You're in the first, they're coming in a bit for the number two, and everybody who's watching online, you are important to us. I know there's a lot of you that are doing that, and so we wanted to say a big welcome to you as well online. Thank you. Don't forget to give this a thumbs up and put a comment in the online. So let's everybody settle down now, shall we? Everybody needs to come in and sit down as possible as you can, as all as possible, and hear the word of God. Are you ready? Let's pray a prayer, shall we, that says something like this. Dear God, please speak to me today. Anoint the preacher and anoint the hearer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give yourself a new day. That's the title of my message. Give yourself. Now, we already know that God has decided he's going to give us a new day. But how many of you know that just because God has said he's going to give us a new day, we don't always give ourselves the new day? It's like he is the healer, but we never ask him to heal us. It's like he is the Savior, but we never ask him to forgive us. And here is a new day opportunity that God wants to give us, but sometimes we don't give ourselves the permission to reach out for the new day that God is going to give us. So this is a very, very important message. If you were a curry maker, I've been marinating this for a lot of weeks. So we'll get through it as quick as we can. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says this, "See, I am doing a new thing." God is a God of new things, amen? New every morning is his love, right? God isn't a, you know, let's pull out yesterday's file. Every day, every time you come to him, it's fresh, it's new. And then it asks a question in that verse. Now it springs up, do you perceive it? That's the crux of this message. If you don't perceive that God wants to give you a new day, you will not give yourself a new day. It's a time for opening eyes today that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to us and say, not only is God giving you a new day, but you can take it as well. And you need to get into a place. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. It's poetic language to say you're in a tough time, but actually God wants to bring you through to a better time. Is there an amen in the house? There's a great verse as well in Lamentations 3, 22, 23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Now, the word consumed then again is a little bit poetic license in the verse. It's saying, we're not going to have a really bad end. You're not going to burn up. You're not going to be in a terrible situation. You're not going to be consumed, for his compassions, or his love and his compassion for you, never fails. In fact, again in a poetic line, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. God's love for you is being renewed today. His plans for you are absolutely yes and amen. They've not gone stale. They're not past their sell-by date. They are good and amen. God has a plan to give you and me both a new day. His love, his mercy, his grace are not limited by our yesterday or whatever happened to us yesterday. Whatever your yesterday is like, God's grace and his love, faithfulness is yes and amen to you today. Like any loving father who wants good things for his kids, our heavenly Father wants you to have a good day, a breakthrough day, a new opportunity. It might not have been great in the past, but God's plan for you for the days that are ahead is absolutely amazing. You all know, like I know, that life doesn't always turn out like we expected it to. Well, it might have done for you. Okay, I'll talk about myself then. It didn't always quite work out like we thought. And we can find ourselves having to deal with this thing called disappointment and pain and having to deal with failure. I just want to say to you, every single one of us today, and all of you watching me right now, wherever you are, God's plans for you have not been cancelled just because you had a tough day yesterday. God's plans for today and for your future are, we need to give ourselves a new day because he's made a promise that we can have it. Ruth is a beautiful young lady in the Old Testament. She was a young Moabite woman, and she'd met Mr. Handsome. His name was Mahlon. And Mahlon had come with his parents, Naomi and Elimelech, and his brother Kilian, and they moved from Judea, from the land of Israel, as it were, from their hometown, which was called Bethlehem. It was suffering a famine at that time, although the word Bethlehem means a house of bread. And they chose to go in search. They were economic migrants, basically. They went in search of something better in a land of Moab, and they thought it was all going to be better. The grass was greener in Moab. Don't we all make some stupid decisions from time to time? Why would you want to leave a town called House of Bread to go to a foreign land when God says, this is the land that I'm going to bless? But okay, I'm not the only person that's made a stupid decision, am I? That was a bit quiet, okay. Anyhow, Ruth and Mahlon, they got married, but then Mahlon died. So did his brother Kilion, and so did their father Elimelech. And it basically left two young women and the mother. To cut the story a little bit short, Ruth and her mother-in-law, who we'll focus on, their world fell apart. It was absolute. She had no children. She was young in marriage. And her husband has gone. They were in a desperate situation and away from home. No husband to care for them. No children to just take their focus on the emptiness of their life. It was hopeless. It was sad. It was filled with regret. And that big question called, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did this? Why? Have you ever asked that question? I've certainly asked a lot of whys in my life when I've come to this place, and you've done, I know you've done, and we've said, why? And we find ourselves in a difficult time. Perhaps your world has caved in like that, and where you find yourself today, here, or watching me, you've said, why? And it feels like everything, it was all going good. It was going good for Ruth at that, in the first time, and then her husband died, and father-in-law died, and brother-in-law died, and here she is left in a desperate situation. But then Naomi decided she's going to go back to the house of bread. She's going to go back to Bethlehem. You know, when the things get really tough going, it's always good to return to where you know that God intended you to be. You know, you're in a house of bread right now, don't you? The Bible talks about when we give, we help to keep bread on the table. This is a house of bread. This is a house of goodness. You're in a good place today. You're in a spiritual Bethlehem today. And Naomi decided that she was going to go back to Bethlehem. And Ruth decided, you're not going alone. I'm coming with you. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, she says it like this. Where you will go, I will go. Where you will stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. So if she hadn't come to a place of faith in God, that was certainly her confession of faith. Right there and then, your God will be my God. Ruth was deciding to give herself a new day. That's the message. That's the title of my message. Give yourself a new day. She could have decided to stay in Moab and she would have been all alone. The only person that she would have known there was the other daughter-in-law, who they would have then had pity parties with each other for the rest of their lives. But she decided, I'm going to stick by Naomi. I'm going to go and I'm going to give myself the opportunity of a new day in the house of bread amongst the people of God with her godly mother-in-law. That decision changed her life. And I want to tell you something. There are decisions that you are going to make, that will change your life. And one of the biggest decisions that we can ever make is to stay and or even return to the house of bread. She came back, and to make the story very short, she came back. She met a new Mr. Handsome, who happened to be a very rich Mr. Handsome this time. His name was Boaz. They got married. They had a baby. They called him Obed. And Obed became the grandfather of King David. I mean, awesome story. And of course, of the line and lineage of a Moabite woman and this Jewish Boaz who had Obed, who became the grandfather of King David. And some generations later, of that same lineage, came our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What an awesome story. All because a Moabite, a foreign young lady, decided she would put herself, give herself a new day. She chose a new day, and the rest is history. Peter was a man's man. In the New Testament, he was a fisherman, and Jesus called him to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he says, "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you a fisher of men." And then from that time on, Peter had been at the forefront of all that was happening in that band of 12 disciples. I think when Peter entered the room, you knew that he was there. He was not the quiet, shy little guy that sat in the corner. I think Peter would have walked into the room and said, commanding attention, "Hi, everybody! Now the party can begin. This is Peter." He was a rugged fisherman. He was full of life. He was even selected by Jesus as that inner group of the three disciples, and he got to see and do some things that the other disciples didn't do. He was rising high. He was destined for some great things. But Peter was a bit gaff prone. He was able to put his foot in his mouth. He was able to put his foot in your mouth or anybody else's mouth that was around him and say things, you know, like this, and then like, "Oh, no, I shouldn't have really said that." He made promises that he couldn't keep. And he was probably, although he was the life and soul of the party, he was probably the most annoying member of the team of disciples with Jesus, I think. From being right at the center of things, he started to find himself more and more in trouble. I'll give you just a hint of a few of those things. He was invited by Jesus to a prayer meeting, and not just with the 12 and Jesus, but then he selected three of his disciples to go to an even closer prayer meeting with Jesus. Peter was one of them, and Jesus said, "Stay here and pray." So you've got nine there, three here, and one there. 9, 3, 1. Jesus, Peter was amongst the three, and the rest were praying here. And guess who fell asleep in that prayer meeting? And Jesus came to him and kicked him in the side and said, "Oi, wakey, wakey, Peter," and said this to Peter, "Couldn't you stay awake and pray for me like I asked you?" And Jesus heard the tone of disappointment. Peter heard the tone of disappointment in Jesus' voice. And it was only a couple of minutes later that into that Garden of Gethsemane, they came to arrest Jesus. And the Bible says that Peter took out his sword and he sliced off the ear of the high priest's slave when they came to arrest him. I mean, I don't know whether he was trying to make up for having just fallen asleep in the prayer meeting or what, but out came the sword, out came the sword, and off came the ear. Jesus must have sighed out loud, I think, when he bent down to pick that ear up off the floor. And I don't know how this happened, but miraculously stuck it back on the face of his servant. I mean, you've got to hear the backstory of that. I mean, that servant must have gone home with some blood on his collar, and his wife must have said to him, "What happened to you?" And you got to think about that backstory, haven't you? You know, I mean, can you imagine? And could you imagine the wife's look? Have you been drinking? You know. But Peter got that look as Jesus was coming back up. He just caught. I think Jesus caught him through the eye, and he must have done this. Oh, Peter stuck the ear back on, and of course, Peter had already made the vow, "I'll never leave you, I'll never deny you." And later that night, he denied him three times. Not just denying him, but even went as far as saying, "Jesus, I don't know him." Everything was crumbling around Peter. And then Jesus died. It was a crushing moment for Peter. He'd never had the moment to put it right with Jesus. It was like, this is over. This is the end of the dream. He'd let Jesus down. He'd let himself down. He was now officially Peter, no longer Simon Peter, but has been Peter. He was, but now he was finished, or so he thought. So he did the only thing that he could think to do, and sometimes we would do the same thing. You know, we said about Naomi going, what a stupid decision. Well, Peter made a stupid decision as well, but it's a decision we'd all make. He suddenly announced, "Okay, that's it. It's finished and over. I'm going to go back to my old life to fish." In John 21, verse 3, it says, "I'm going out to fish." Peter told them, and quite a few other people followed him because he was a really charismatic leader. So they went out, they got into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. Say nothing. And Peter must have been so ticked off in that boat. He's throwing out the net and said, I'm good at this. Nothing. Okay, must be first time, just a bit rusty. Throw it out again. I've done this all my life. I know these fish. I know how to fish. Nothing. I want to tell you something. When you step out of God's will for your life, you'll put out your net as many times as you want and you'll get nothing. There's no fish jumping into your net when you have made a decision that takes you outside the will of God for your own life. Peter thought it was over, but he hadn't accounted for the master plan that Jesus had. Because I want to tell you something, it's never over till he says it's over. And let's pick the story up, shall we, now in John chapter 21 and verse 4 to 6. It says, early in that morning, he'd been fishing all night, okay? So early the next morning, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus now, stood on the shore as of Galilee, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them. I think he did it with a smile on his face, in a sarcastic sort of way. He said, friends, haven't you any fish? He didn't ask the question, have you got some fish? He says, haven't you got any fish? And I think he was shaking his head like this. Nah, nah, I know you ain't caught nothing. No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Now, this was familiar because Jesus had done this one time before. And when they caught a great big catch of fish. So it's like, oh, hang on a minute. Even if I didn't recognize the face, I'm now recognizing the words. And you know, there are some times when you don't see the face of Jesus, but we need to learn to recognize his words. His words should be something that we go, oh, this is God speaking to. And he said, throw out the net on the side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When God is saying something, I want to tell you, in a desperate situation where you even took a wrong decision and you ended up in the sea doing what you thought you could do, you can't do it. But when Jesus speaks, I mean, I tell you, Jesus was speaking to all those fish and he's saying, right now, swim to the side of that boat, the other side of the boat, jump into that net, because we're going to teach these, especially Peter, a big lesson. Verse 7, John 21, 7, it says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's the way he described himself, because it's John's gospel. He's writing about himself. He didn't say, when John, that's me. He said the disciple who he loved, when he said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon, the Bible says, as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped on his outer garment. I hate to think what he was looking like before he did that. Just don't go there, okay? He wrapped around his outer garment around him. He jumped into the water. Now, the last time that he went to see Jesus, he walked on the water. This time, he was not expecting to walk on water because he was gaff prone. Earlier, he said, "Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you." This time, he wasn't even going that way. He jumped in. He splashed. He ran. I don't know. It's really quite hard when you've got your outer garments on to run through the water. But I think Peter made his way back to that. I think he was panting and puffing, and he'd only got one thing in mind. If this is Jesus, I need to be back where I need to be and give myself a new day. He needed to go and sort something out with Jesus. This was his moment to create a new day, and he wasn't going to run away anymore, and he wasn't going to go back to fishing any fish. He needed just to get close to Jesus again and find his new day with the Savior. Jesus was cooking fish on the shore. He didn't need the fish that came out of the net. He's able to make a provision for us directly by himself. Where did Jesus get those other fish from? Not those fish. It doesn't say that. Jesus was already cooking the fish on the shore. I tell you, his abundant provision for you is amazing. God has always got something in supply for you. And then Jesus came across and started to talk to Peter. And he said, oh, Pete, you plunker. Pete the plunker, Pete the gaff, Pete, you should have known better. I'm so disappointed in you. Pete, you are a waste of space. Why I ever picked you to be on my team, I don't know. I should have picked somebody better than you. You have just wasted 3 years in my Bible school. You are just a mess. Well, that's what I would have said. Jesus, on the other hand, said, Simon, Peter, do you truly love me more than these? And Peter's expecting this tell-off. And the only thing that Jesus asked him is, do you love me more than these? Now, what are the these? I don't think he was pointing to the disciples, because then that would raise a position where he was in competition more than these. I think he was pointing to the fish in the net. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than your comfort blanket? Do you love me first in your life? Are you prepared to put me first? Do you love me? What an incredible love of Jesus Christ. That when we make gaffes, he doesn't come with a big finger. He comes and says, do you love me? And then he does it three times. Why three times? Well, maybe because Peter had denied Jesus three times, so he was getting him back one for each of the three times. Each of the three times when Jesus asked him, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I do. And Peter was going like, of course I do. Of course I love you. Why do you think I jumped out the boat? The biggest thing in my life is loving in you. But the problem of it is that I've put my foot in it too many times. But because Peter gave the right answer, the right response to Jesus, Jesus reached out to him. Every time he said, I love you, Jesus commissioned him to do something. In verse 21, verse 15, he said, all right, feed my lambs. He asked him again, do you love me? And Jesus replied to Peter, take care of my sheep. And again in 21, verse 17, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And Peter could not believe his ears. Instead of getting a lecture on how stupid that decision was, and that decision, and he could have had a talk about the servant's ear, couldn't he? And he could have had a said, I was listening to you when you said you didn't even know me. And I mean, these things were filling his mind. When we make a gaffe, when we slip up, when we find ourselves in a daft, do you rehearse that? You go over it and 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 over it again. I mean, it's like the prodigal when he came back to Jesus. He got this speech, I'm no longer more worthy to be called in. And this, and he was going to tell him the whole story. And the only thing the father was interested in was that the prodigal son had returned. Kill the fatted calf, put the ring on his finger, put the clothes on, let's have a party. He was dead, now he's alive. And it's the same with Jesus and Peter. Peter was expecting this dressing down. The only thing he got from Jesus is one question, do you love me? And when Peter responded with the right answers, he was giving himself a new day. He was opening up the opportunity for a new day. And Peter was back. His new day had started on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Stood in front of his Savior. I mean, his heart was filled with a new love for Jesus, because he wasn't finished. Even though he was gaff-prone, Jesus said, even you, I'm trusting to feed my sheep. Even, thank God that he trusts us. We're not perfect people. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. Well, at least I think I'm perfect. And then Rachel reminds me that I'm not. And of course, none of us are. So Jesus takes imperfect people and trusts us with a responsibility in his kingdom to feed sheep and to go and represent King Jesus out in the world. And it wasn't very long before Peter was then standing up on the first induction day, as it were, of the new church. After Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came and filled those disciples with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says fire came down them. They started to speak in other tongues. And then the guest preacher for the day turned up. Guess who it was? Peter, the one who stood on the shore of Galilee and was terrified about what Jesus was going to do to him. And then was like, feed my sheep. And then not long afterwards, here he was, guest preacher on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 people were born again that day, and the church was on its way. And Peter was a key leader alongside Paul, probably the two most incredible leaders of their day. Like Ruth, she'd found herself in a desperate situation, thought no hope. And then she met Boaz and became the grandmother of King David. And here we are, Peter, who is all going good, but he tripped himself up a few times. But God came and asked him one question: do you love me? You know, there are people here and people watching us online right now, and you've been carrying hurts and disappointments. Some of them, like Ruth, it just happened to you. You didn't do anything wrong. It was just, it happened to you. And you found yourself in a place where you said, God, why? What did I do wrong? You know, and it all went wrong. Your invitation is to give yourself a new day. Make sure that you come to a place like Bethlehem, House of Bread. You're in the right place right here at Destiny today, and even connecting with us online. It's a place of bread. It's where God, and your God is going to be my God, and your people are going to be my people, and we're going to stay connected to the family of God. The Bible talks about, in another verse, that when we come together as church, we're coming to feast on the abundance of his house. That's what the Bible says. That's why it's good that you're here. And that's why we're excited about the second lot that are going to come and fill this place in a short time. Why? Because this is a place of feasting. This is our Bethlehem. This is our house of bread. And God has got massive plans for you. Or maybe you fit into the Peter character. And you say, oh, if only I'd kept my mouth shut. Well, that's a good lesson, and we need to learn that. Oh, by the way, Peter had to learn some lessons, because it is interesting that for the rest of the New Testament, Peter became an esteemed and honored leader amongst the early church. And we don't hear of him making the gaffes like he did when he was just following Jesus. After Jesus had commissioned him to go and feed and represent, there must have come a new wisdom into Peter and said, whoa, that's my Achilles heel. That's where I trip myself up. I'm going to have to be really careful. And the Bible says, be careful what you do with your tongue. The Bible says that. And Peter, instead of being impulsively responsive, somehow he was still the rugged Peter that he was. He would have still been bold and courageous. And we know that he was. You know, to the point that even in the end, he was crucified for his faith. History has it that he said, no, I can't be crucified on a cross like Jesus, please. Crucify me upside down. And there's very good evidence historically around that Peter was crucified on a cross like Jesus, but upside down, because he felt too unworthy to be crucified in the same way as Jesus. He gave his life. He became a key person. He came to the place where he said, all right, I've got to get over this. And you know, God is inviting you to get over whatever it is, to give you a new day as well. You've maybe been a Ruth, or maybe you've been a Peter. You struggled with things in your life. Maybe you struggled and you've been so hurt, but God has got plans for you that are still good. Maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe you've been crying about your children. Maybe you've been crying about your husband. Maybe you've been crying about some financial decision. Maybe you've been crying about your health or the health of somebody close to you. And you say, oh God, How are we ever going to get through this? I'll tell you how you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it the same way that I'm going to get through it. And we're all in the same thing. We just need to believe in Jesus. We need to get close to him, be in the house of bread, be in the place of Bethlehem, and then get ready to jump out of our boat of comfort and splash our way through the shores of Sea of Galilee, come to the feet of Jesus on that sandy shore and say, I love you. And when you say, I love you to Jesus, he's going to turn around to you and say, I'm going to trust you. And that's what he did. That's what he said to Peter. Feed my lambs. I'm trusting you to feed my lambs. I'm going to trust you to care for my sheep. I'm going to trust you to feed my sheep. And God wants to trust you, wants to bring you through. He wants to bring you into a place where you are blessed so much more than you ever could imagine that you are going to be blessed. God's plan for you is to bless you, to give you hope, to give you a future, to bring you through. I know it looks dark right now, but it's time to jump out of your boat. I know it's hard right now, but it's time to take a journey to the house of bread to make sure that you're fully involved in all that God is doing. Fully involved here, loving him, serving him, blessing him, not standing on the edges. Don't stay in Moab. Don't stay in the boat. Come back to where Jesus is. Be right in the center of all God's plans for you. Bring to him the burdens. Bring to him the problems. Bring to him all of that stuff to say, God, I'm worried. I'm upset. I'm disappointed. I'm bringing it all to you. And hear him ask you the one question. Do you love me? And tell him what you feel. Because I know that you feel it. I love you, Lord. Maybe there's people here and you've never come to a place where you could begin to your faith walk with Jesus Christ. You could come to a place where you say, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but today I need to be. If that's you today, don't leave this place without you come and talk to me or one of my team and say, you know, there's been lots of people who have made this decision in the last number of weeks and months and in this very room. This is perhaps your day to come to a place where you say, I am coming to become a Christian. I'm coming to love Jesus. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. If you've never become a Christian or you're watching online right now and you don't know that for certain you're a Christian, write me an email, ian@destinychurch.co.uk. We'll send you something. We'll let you know how you can become a Christian with all the steps of that and join the family of God. But for the rest of us right now, I want you to stand with me just for a moment, would you? Would everybody please just stand? Oh, hallelujah. This is an important moment. Some of you are in a Moab moment. You feel a long way away from the house of bread. Come home. Some of you are in a Peter moment and you know you messed up this week. You gaffed. And you're not happy with yourself. Come and meet Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, as it were, and hear him ask you the question, do you love me? And as you say, I love you, a reconciliation happens, and Jesus is going to trust you again. It's a beautiful song we're going to sing that says, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. What's going to change? You're going to change. God's going to change your weeping and give you laughter. Right now, you can't even imagine that, but God wants to bring a new joy in all of the pain of your life. It's tough going, but God knows. Come to him right now. Say, change my weeping into laughter. Change my disappointment into appointment. I don't want to live disappointed. I want to live appointed. Change my failure into victory. Change my life and let it be glorifying to you. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 40 verse 31, if you will hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will soar again on wings like eagles. You are going to run and not grow weary. You are going to walk and not be faint. Philippians 3:13 says, it's time to forget what is behind. Press on towards what is ahead. Press on to win the prize. That's giving yourself a new day for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will have spoken to our hearts right now. Breathe new life and new hope, and that we will be ready to give ourselves a new day. We're not trying to persuade you to give us a new day. You've already offered it to us. Now we need to just respond and say, I'm coming to you. And I'm going to come and enjoy my new day. Let's sing it together.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Peace is coming. Joy is coming.
Lord, I've come to know
renewed hope.
The weaknesses I see.
He's coming
in me.
As you come to him, he's meeting with you right now. Oh, let God touch your heart.
By the power of your love.
It's because of love. Do you love me? Oh, we love you, Lord.
And
hold me close.
Let your love surround.
Oh, the love of God is coming right around you right now. Receive it, receive it. Let go of the hurt. Let go of the disappointment. He's drawing you to his side right now. He's coming. He's bringing you. He's put his arms around you. Hallelujah.
As I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle.
You're going to rise again. You're going to rise again. It's not over. Hallelujah.
I'm so
oh, yes. In the power of your love, oh, hold me. Let's sing it, hold me. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Oh, yeah. That's the embrace of Jesus. He's putting his arms around you right now. He's putting his arms around you. You're safe and you're secure.
As I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Hallelujah. That's the loving arms of Jesus that have been extended to you right there, right now. That's something you feel in your heart is no less than the Holy Spirit himself that says, it's a new day. Now you give yourself a new day and go and enjoy life. A life that is filled with joy, a life that is filled with peace, a life that is filled with purpose. From this day on, recognize he has given you a new day. Now you give yourself a new day and go and enjoy it with everything you've got. And God bless you. Have a fantastic day. See you Wednesday. We're going to be back for our final. I'm going to be taking the last one of these final of the parables. Next Sunday is going to be awesome. Already 13 people are going to be baptized. If you've not been baptized, get yourself to see Rachel today. Don't miss this opportunity. You need to get in there and go and do what Jesus told you to do. But let's go and live life to the full. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We love you. Thank you.